it's not different in one sense, which is that every administration, particularly if you're changing from one party to another, tends to break from its predecessors. I think the things that are striking about this budget are, first, that President Obama has put some stock in having a more honest accounting of where we are. In the Bush administration, there was a tendency to leave big costs, like, for example, the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, out of the budget. And pretty much what President Obama has included in the budget is, you know, is the sum of everything that I think we face. Secondly, as you suggested, it does, at least relatively speaking, shift resources from defense to domestic programs. Defense would grow much more slowly than it had in the Bush administration, and domestic programs would grow more quickly. I think the most striking thing about the budget is not only the size of the budget, but the size of the budget deficit. President Obama says that the deficit, if we adopt his policies in fiscal year 2009, would be $1.75 trillion, and the deficit in 2008 was $455 billion, which we thought was a lot of money then.
Yeah, back in the day.
So this is, you know, this is quite a large increase. A lot of that is related to the things that we've been doing in terms of the bailing out the financial system and the economic stimulus.
And I know there were a lot of people, and I saw a lot of the discussions on the weekend shows, a lot of discussion about, yes, it brings the Iraq war into the budget, which I think most people probably agree with. But there are also questions about, are the sort of assumptions that underlie the budget, will the recovery happen as quickly as the budget seems to almost assume? Will the deficit shrink as quickly and by as much money as they assume?
Right. I think that that's a really excellent question. I was at a conference last week where the question came up, you know, can the deficit goals be achieved? And my response to that was, you tell me what the economy is going to do, and I'll tell you whether the deficit goals can be achieved or not. The assumptions, at least in the out years, is that we'll return to real GDP growth, you know, that's somewhat normal, which is about 4% per year. If that was only 3% per year, that would make it substantially more difficult to achieve the goals. So he has said he's shooting for a deficit of $533 billion by fiscal year 2013, which would be the end of his first term. And if the economy actually grows that fast, I'm not saying it will be easy to get to, but I think that's doable. But if the economy doesn't, then I think it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to achieve that goal.
But you do think it is doable, and it's doable with this budget, because whatever he proposes is not going to be what comes out the other end of the meat grinder.
Correct. And I think that, you know, part of the issue is that, you know, the Congress, and this is not peculiar to this Congress, you know, they do tend to grab onto things that involve giving things to people, and they're not quite as quick to grab onto those things that inflict pain on people. So, for example, in this budget, he has a whole series of proposals that would put money, he doesn't call it a lockbox, but it's essentially putting money aside for the cost of health care reform, and it's about $633 billion over 10 years. So he says if we do all these things, we'll have $633 billion that we can spend on health care reform. The trouble is that all of those things are things that would actually cost someone something. About half of the money comes from increased taxes on the wealthy. So health care reform might be easier to do than actually paying for health care reform. So, you know, that's, I think, a very real question, is whether the things that are in the budget that actually involve reducing programs or cutting spending are going to happen. Even the small ones, for example, he has a whole list of programs that he calls wasteful in the budget, but everything that the president calls wasteful has some constituency in the Congress, and calling it wasteful is not the same thing as making it go away.
Right. Give us a sense as to how people should look at this budget, because for years we've looked at them and basically they've been dead on arrival. No one really took a, they were barely a starting point. How should people look at this document, and particularly since they had, you know, just weeks to pull this all together? Is there something they should, what does it tell us?
Well, I think what it tells us is really just a sense of what the overall priorities of the Obama administration intend to be. And I think there, you know, I think what you can read from it is that there is an intent to shift money from defense to domestic programs, that there is an intent to shift the tax burden away from lower and middle income people to upper income people, and that there is an intent to do health care reform. In terms of the details, we haven't seen the details yet, because this is really an overall blueprint for the budget. The real detailed budget proposal is not going to come out until late March or early April, and I think we'll know more then. In terms of it being dead on arrival, most of those budgets that were dead on arrival were during times when we had a president of one party and a Congress of another party, and that's not the situation we have right now. And I think that the Congress is more likely to oppose President Obama on the details than perhaps on the big picture. So I think as a blueprint, it's probably a pretty good outline for where we'll end up. The question is, you know, on the specific programs and his proposals that come out late March or early April, the Congress will have something to say about those.
And Professor Joyce, we only have about 2 minutes left, but I did want to shift gears and touch on the continuing resolution.
Right.
Continues to happen. It's almost become standard operating procedure, which is not a good thing.
Yes.
So why does this keep happening, and who can we point our fingers at?
Well, I think you could point your fingers pretty much at everyone. As you suggest, it's nothing new. The Congress has passed all the appropriation bills on time 4 times in the last 33 years. And this is a bipartisan problem. I mean, you can look at, you know, any combination you want to think of, Republican president, Democratic Congress, you know, the reverse unified government, and it happens all the time. And I think, you know, the basic problem here is that the budget process is a, you know, difficult and contentious process, and there's a lot at stake. And in a sense, I think people are desensitized to the effects of this issue, that it causes real problems for federal agencies. They have difficulty in planning. They put hiring on hold. They, you know, people who receive money from federal agencies have a difficult time planning for what they're going to receive. I'm part of a very good organization called the American Association for Budget and Program Analysis. It's made up of people, you know, who work in federal budget offices throughout the government. And, you know, every time this group of people gets together, they talk about the same things, which is the fact that this happens year after year after year. And I think that people, in a sense, have lost their outrage over it.
When I think people don't really fully understand the kind of implications, because all of a sudden we're, you know, well into the fiscal year.
Right.
And so now agencies have to take all that money and spend it in a much shorter period of time,
right,
because you have to spend it before, and you're just begging for trouble.
No, that's exactly right. And it's, you know, not only it might cause money to be spent less carefully, but if I was a contractor dealing with a federal agency, you know, I would charge a premium for all the uncertainty that was out there in terms of how much I'm going to receive and when I'm going to receive it. So, I mean, I think it's not only that there may be costs in terms of sort of, you know, inevitable waste that occurs, but I think there might be real cost in terms of you know, higher premiums that are being paid on federal contracts. So it, you know, it's not any way to do business. And I think when you think about the fact that the main thing I think that the Congress and the President have to do each year is to pass bills that fund the government, and they haven't done that in a timely manner, 29 out of the last 33 years, you know, that suggests to me that that's something we ought to be at least concerned about, if not outraged.